dun 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 bum 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 dun 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 dun. And then it's like, the fussy fellas, verdant viewers, viewers, bum 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 ba.
Hello and welcome to Fussy Fellas / Verdant Viewers.
The Fussy Verdant Bossy Virgins.
That's right. The podcast about the FX musical drama series.
I was so Fosse hoping you were going to do this.
That ran on FX
for eight
episodes in the spring of 2019. I'll have that polished like a shiny rock by episode four.
I can't wait.
I'll just be able to spit that out. But I felt like free solo there. Like every single, every turn of the front sentence, I had to grab onto a new rock, like, and I could fall to my death at any time.
And I was the girlfriend at home who was like, "He's crazy, but I love right. him." I haven't seen the movie. I don't know.
I haven't seen it either. Too scary. Too high up there.
I'm like Solo, a Star Wars story, because nobody liked me.
I liked you, but I don't even really like Star Wars that much, so I don't know what says about me liking it.
Fair enough.
My name is Jimmy Blackman.
And I am Marty Scanlon. Together we are the Smash Bros.
Wait, did you just say the word Smash Bros? No, we're not the Smash Bros. Not this week.
This week we are the Fossey Fellas and the Verdant Viewers.
I would say you're more of a Fossey Fella and I'm more of a Verdant Viewer. But would you say you're more of a Verdant Viewer and I'm more of a Fossey Fella? I mean, where do you fall on the Fossey Fella Verdant Viewer spectrum?
So, I mean, I love all that jazz, so I guess that does make me a Fossey Fella. But to be honest, part of the reason that I'm like a little nervous to do this is that I truly know very little about Bob Fosse's life, about Gwen Verdon. As any of our Smash Bros fans will know, I always watch most of this stuff with Allie, who's like a very good Sherpa through the guide of musical theater stuff. And so I actually just sat down before recording this and watched Gwen Verdon doing, what was it, Steam Heat? And it was amazing. And so I'm a truly newly converted Verdon viewer.
That's great. I wouldn't say I have a deep knowledge of either of their work. You know, I mean, obviously Fosse's work, you know, pretty well. And I feel like my conception of what his life is like, probably for you, same thing, comes almost entirely from the fictionalized version of it.
Exactly.
In all that jazz. Gwen Verdon, I mean, I love Damn Yankees. I've seen that movie a number of times.
I just found out what the concept of Damn Yankees is, and I was like,
"It's wild,
shit.
Isn't it?"
I can't believe that I never knew what that was. But what an amazing concept!
It is. It is actually like a very. It's a good premise, and so few musicals, especially from that era, are like premise driven in a good way like that.
Right.
Like they're mostly just, you know, whatever story you can fit around these 15 songs.
Right, these song and like dance song. Right.
Right. Damn Yankees is like has like an interesting satirical worldview. I was in Damn Yankees, in a production of Damn Yankees as a kid, and when I would be in those productions when I was like 10 or 11 years old, I would just become obsessed with them, where I would listen to the soundtrack all the time.
Sure.
And I don't think this was my idea. I think like my mom found it and thought I would like it, and I did. I guess Damn Yankees was originally based off a book called The Year the Red Sox Won the Pennant, I think is what it was called. So it's like this weird,
like the Darn Yankees.
Entirely right. It's like an entirely forgotten, except for the fact that it inspired this musical novel from like the 40s, and I like read that as a 10-year-old. I went deep on Damn Yankees.
Well, I don't blame you. When you're in a show, you gotta really, you know, the show becomes a part of you, Jimmy, just as much as you become part of the show.
And the way that I played fan, member of the chorus who was a fan, I wore a little baseball cap, a little pinstripe jersey, and I went, "Go Yankees!" And I think I couldn't have done that had I not read the 400-page novel on
the libretto
Damn Yankees was based. That was really a key part of that fan performance.
amazing.
So, yeah, I don't think I actually read the book while it was happening. I think I probably read it like that fall after I'd been in it. But right.
So what the hell are we doing talking, here? Here's what we're doing. We're watching the FX series.
Who knows when we're gonna do Smash Bros. Season 2, you know? But this show came on. It's slow going,
but it is going indeed.
Yeah, you know, it's going for sure, but sometimes there's more pressing matters. You know, Smash is old news. What's on now, what the people are talking about, is Fosse Verdon. So that's what the other people, it's what the people Jimmy and Marty, want. Are talking about.
Yeah, we're the people. we're the people, and it's what we want. So yeah, any excuse to watch a show about musical theater, about the you know, about the craft behind making great musicals, and about you know, interesting folks in the industry is a great excuse to celebrate. So we're excited to chat in this sort of limited series for the next couple weeks about it.
And this is interesting because it's for the first time, I think, in any of these things we've talked about, Smash or any of these intermission series, we're both going in, you know, completely blind to it. Neither of us have a preconceived notion of what the show. I mean, I think we're both excited for it.
Yeah.
But the future is unwritten. We will see how this show pans out.
Feel the rain on your skin. No one else can feel it for you. Only you can let it in. Today is where your book begins. The rest is still unwritten.
Oh, shoot. I just lost you.
Oh, well, I was just doing a really bad joke, so it's probably for the best.
I got like three stanzas into the bad joke.
Okay,
so great. And so for the listeners listening at home, because we won't cut that little blip out there, Marty and I are 3,000 miles apart. For those who did not listen last week, I live in the City of Angels now. Work in Hollywood. I'm a Hollywood big shot. I go to the beach every day and the mountains all in one day. I'm a Los Angelino, street tacos through and through, SoCal for life.
And I'm just a 212. Just had to get that out of the way. I'm a 212 fellow. I climb to the top of the Empire State every day. I eat a pizza folded over, buddy. And if you even try to hit me with a cab, I'm going to be walking here.
you climb the Empire State Building just like that star of Broadway, King Kong.
Him and all of his friends in dark clothes. They're always just hanging around by him, and I don't know what the hell they're doing there.
Well, that's in your rider as well, that any show you do, you require like 6 to 8 puppeteers to move you around.
I gotta have people carrying me everywhere I go. It's for a requirement as part of my New York City life.
That's right. Yeah, and it's not just shows, right? It's like,
oh no, it's life, it's work,
anywhere. Yeah,
it's work, it's play, it's everything.
And those people are W-2'd employees for you. You know, you treat them well, they get benefits. So if anybody's is he taking advantage of, like, you know, private contractors or whatever? No, these people, they live a good life. They sleep bunk bed style in Marty's kitchen, but it's a decent situation.
Yeah, it's a pretty
really, you know, close access to the fridge at night.
Exactly. All things considered, they can have as many bananas as they want.
Well, this show's been very anticipated, you know? Like, I feel like people I was seeing on Twitter, I mean, you know, anticipated in certain circles, obviously, but, like, people got excited when the first photos from this came out, when the first trailers dropped. You know, it's Sam Rockwell and Michelle Williams, two stars of screen and stage as well sometimes.
Yeah, both very celebrated actors, excellent actors.
Yeah. People love when Sam Rockwell dances in movies, so people are excited that he would be playing a famous dancer.
And people love when Michelle Williams does, like, very studied voice work, and I think she's a terrific actress, so I'm very excited to see
You know who she would happen. Be really good at playing? Have you ever thought about this? I actually think she would be a great Marilyn Monroe.
You're a bastard.
I did not think of that until this moment. It almost would have passed without me roasting you for that error you made in episode 2 of Smash Bros. Yeah. Everybody go look it up. He didn't know about the movie My Week with Marilyn. The fucking idiot.
Hey, to be fair, now I've watched the sequel My Month with Marilyn, and it was very good.
So were you excited for the show, or were you when you heard it was coming? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, just seeing, you know, it, I don't know if it's like this in LA, but there are posters all over New York City for it. And so, like, the marketing is really cool. I've been excited to see it. You know, like I said, I'm a huge All That Jazz fan. And from, like, the very get-go, I feel like, you know, this wouldn't be an episode of Smash Bros. Or whatever, Fosse Fellas, Verdant Viewers, if I didn't say that, you know, Allie turned to me and said. But we both had a similar thought of just, like, wow, this is immediately paying homage to All That Jazz. And she sort of mentioned, like, this seems like the creators just want you to go watch All That Jazz, which is like a great place to start. I think it's sort of, it's sort of like, you know, the elephant in the room.
Right. Yeah. So let's dive into it. So we are talking about, obviously, the first episode of Fosse Verdant, Life as a Cabaret is the title. And yeah, it is a weird thing to make. We're making like a biopic about these two people. And it's a weird starting place to make a biopic when one of the person, essentially the most famous thing they have ever done, is made a film about themselves.
And like how much of a bastard stylized. They were.
Right. So it's like not a thing of, it's not as easy to then to take like, you know, it's not the same as making like the John Adams miniseries where you can be like, hey, look at this. John Adams was kind of a jerk and here's Paul Giamatti playing him. And everybody's like, oh, that's interesting. I've never thought of John Adams that way. Because in this case, you're like, yeah, he told us that famously in Song and Dance.
Right. So it's sort of like, okay, so this, I guess, is going to be maybe a more objective look, but the thing that like stuck with me so much with this episode, just stylistically, I really enjoyed this first episode a lot. I thought it was really,
I did too.
I thought it was really lovely storytelling, sharp, and like stylistically speaking, I think it just like really nailed just a lot of the moments that I feel like we're wanting in Smash of like, what does it mean to be a creative thinker? And how does mm-hmm. that translate to your work? And I like loved that, that kind of theme throughout the whole episode.
Yeah, I did too. And I mean, so it's interesting because I do feel like along with what you're saying about the elephant in the room is, have you read any of the reviews of the show or seen any of the conversation online about it? Or have you?
No, I purposely stayed away from it just so that I wouldn't be too skewed, just because like I feel a little bit nervous going into this being like, I don't know anything, and so this is just my like initial opinions, and I think that might be a little scary because I might read some critical stuff and be like, oh, interesting, my opinion has changed. But I thought it would be useful to sort of have a pretty blank slate here.
Yeah, so I haven't too much either, but I do know that like a big thing that is in the conversation, which I think is like an obvious thing, so I don't think it's gonna spoil too much, but is that question of like, how sympathetic can this thing be, like, just the idea of it being sort of like a problematic man at the center of the story. You know, this is something that we talk about a lot with Smash Bros. With Derek, and you know, we've compared him to Bob Fosse and all that, and then just the general like balance of the Fosse and the Verdant of it all. Like, if you're gonna call it Fosse Verdant, are you really doing due diligence to the Verdant character?
Right. So that's, and in like this first episode, the answer is sort of like, well, no, not yet. And my hope is that, you know, we start to see more of her side of things. But my fear is that that she's, you know, an accessory to a story.
Right. And I guess I say that all as preamble to saying, like, I give that as the like caveat of like, I know that this is something we need to watch out for. However, I was so enchanted by basically everything in this episode, but I do also, I want to like check my biases on that and be like, okay, you know, I thought this was all so good, but I'm also just like, I'm naturally inclined to like these shows about like,
of course,
troubled men. And, you know, this episode was great, and it also did essentially feel like Mad Men, but for Broadway, which,
yeah, but
I mean, frankly, sign me up. Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. But I do think it is like, it's just, it is towing that line, dance pun not intended, of being just a little too like celebratory of him being troubled. You know what
I
mean?
Like like a womanizer and a bad person.
Right. Right. But for me so far, it's like, It is, yeah, you're right. It set up the dominoes of like, now I would like to see over the course of these episodes Gwen Verdon get a little more agency as a character. Let's see if she does.
Totally. I really liked the framing device of like the 19 days until the end. I love jump cuts in time. I thought that was really like cool and really effective way to tell some interesting stories and give us some context. I don't know. Right. I just really dug a lot of like the filmmaking aspects of this very much.
And one thing to me, and not to make it all a comparison and contrast with Smash, because they're each their own show, but one way in which I felt like this show really flourished in a way that, that Smash rarely did was the way that it, that the way the show was cut and directed felt so in line with the rhythms of the music in the show. Like it
absolutely
felt in a lot of ways like they were able to imbue the movie with like that that Bob Fosse rhythm, and also with like with the Candor and Ebb songs and with the who wrote Sweet Charity? Whoever wrote Sweet Charity. Like it just it feels like it, it it's Cy all Coleman? The same. Thank you. Good pull. It feels like it's all the same body, whereas in Smash sometimes it felt like the that left hand wasn't speaking to the right hand.
Totally. Or it was like, how many more places can we put where these people are going to sing?
Yes, that is true. That is true. Yeah, we have not yet had a bowling alley sequence in Fosse Verdon, but we'll see.
Well, we'll see. There's always that Chili's commercial moment.
Yeah. Or I guess in the 1960s, 70s, it would be like a Howard Johnson's commercial.
Yes, exactly. Or like a Cracker Barrel, and people are like, wow, look at this new restaurant, Cracker Barrel.
Yeah, that's right. Well, okay, let's talk about some of the performances in it. I mean, obviously, you got Sam Rockwell and Michelle Williams heading it off. Yes. I think I'm a big fan of Sam Rockwell. I can find him to sometimes be a little bit of an over actor. Or maybe somebody who relishes a little bit too much in like putting on a wig and drooping a cigarette out of his mouth.
Sure.
I like him. I think he's teetering on the edge of that. What are your feelings on Sam Rockwell in the role?
It's sort of hard to say. I don't know. I have such a hard time sometimes thinking about like what my feelings are on an acting performance, because I'm like, well, when we're talking about an acting performance, I think we're talking about writing, and I think we're talking about so much other stuff. But I think also I tend to be more apologetic towards performances that might seem a little campy, just because I'm sort of like, well, there's just like from an acting perspective, I tend to be pretty defensive of like actor performances and choices in general, just because I find myself being like, well, I suck, so what do I have to tell anyone? But I liked him. I enjoyed him. I thought,
I was just saying, to me it's like I can't give Sam, I like Sam Rockwell, I know can give such a good nuanced performance that when he doesn't, I'm just like, hey, come on, man. Not that I don't think this is nuanced, but I think like Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri or whatever. Like sometimes these performances that he gets lauded for are just him like going big in a way that's unnecessary.
Yeah, I definitely get that. But yeah, it's funny. I think a lot of the best work is like in those little close-ups where he's sort of remembering or you know sort of haunted by these like memories and the music and the rhythmic stuff that's in his brain. I thought that stuff was done so effectively that I really liked watching those pieces. That's when like that kind of like small film acting is so cool, because you're getting, you know, these like beautiful theatrical effects. Like this felt like it was a shot. It was like shooting a stage play. You know, you have these amazing like fades where things are moving in and out and pieces of the set are revealing other things happening. And so I think watching him react in those moments was super, super effective. So, you know, it kind of remains to be seen what the rest of the stuff looks like. But I left this episode from basically every performance feeling like pretty psyched to see where everything is going.
Me too. And so I was going to say, with Michelle Williams, I feel like she is just from moment one dropped into the character in a way.
I think she's doing like an unbelievable performance. Yeah, I think she's terrific.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, I just think, I don't know. I like Michelle Williams. I can't think of anything I've disliked her in, but I don't necessarily always think of her as somebody who like lights up the screen in that way. But she just, like, she just gets this character in a way that, that is so exciting to me.
Well, and I feel like she's doing the thing that, like, actors hope to do, right? Which is, like, disappearing into a role, but also bringing yourself out of a role, you know?
Right.
That you're seeing her. You're not seeing, you're not seeing her hairstyle. You're not seeing her costuming. You're seeing her, and you're seeing her very beautiful emotional state and her, her, like, very understated performance. But but she's also embodying this character and this wonderful voice, and she's doing a lot of, like, really good work, and you can see that,
right?
And it also looks effortless, which I just admire so much. I think she's really terrific.
That to me is the that's the comparison point with Rockwell, where with him I sort of see the hairstyle before I see the inner character. But, you know, it's also a little bit of a bigger jump from what he really looks like than it is with her. So I can't totally blame him. And then I just love the, I mean, and this is just pure, you know, fanboy stuff, but, like, just all these little performances we're getting from these people.
Yeah, Norbert Leo Butts
at that time. Oh yeah, it's Patty Chayefsky. You've got old Nate Cordry from Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip. Who was playing as Neil Simon?
You know, who played Hal Prince? Because it cut to him, and I was like, holy shit!
Oh, that's, you know what? He Hal popped Prince. Up for just a second, and it's somebody kind of, or it's somebody who I know of. Hold on, who is it? Oh, it's Evan Handler. Do you know who this guy is? He was on, like, Sex in the City. He's, like, bald, and he's, like, a Broadway actor as well. But I assume he's gonna come up more in the show, though it'll be challenging him for him to top James Urbaniak's Hal Prince in the Documentary Now episode,
which is just so funny.
Yeah, so good.
Who else? We got a great performance from my internet doesn't work.
Paul Reiser.
I like Paul Reiser in most things, but I was talking about Liza, who played Liza.
I just looked up her name. It's Kelly Barrett, but I've never seen her in anything. But yeah, what a performance! I mean, the production number part of it, like, that felt like that was Liza Minnelli in Cabaret there, to a, like, almost scary degree to me.
You know what's crazy is that I've actually never seen the Cabaret film.
Oh, really? Oh, you should
watch
it.
Yeah, I gotta watch it. Ellie was like, you would love it. It's spooky.
Yeah, well, it's one of those movies that's, like, it's very different than the musical, and it different in a way where it, like, is, like, fully a film. I mean, that's kind of what they're talking about throughout this episode, of, like, him wanting to make something that's not razzle-dazzle and, like, feels like a full adult feature film. And that's really what it is. Like, if you know the musical, the musical is a lot more razzle dazzle than the movie is.
Right. I mean, I don't know if we want to break things down, you know, beat by beat or whatever. I just feel like I just leave this episode with a lot of excitement about seeing where things are going to go.
I do too, and it's an interesting thing because it's not clear to me chronologically where we're going. Like, are we starting at the filming of Cabaret and just basically moving forward with some flashbacks to childhood and that sort of thing? Or are we going to be jumping around more? Because there was a fair amount of jumping around in this episode. Like, I'm interested to see if we have an episode that's mostly set around the time of them first working together, or that's mostly set before they'd met each other, you know, whatever it is. I really have no idea, like, where literally plot wise we're gonna head.
It's very scary and also exciting to be watching a show and talking about it in real time, because I feel like I'm often so late to the party with most things that I have a chance to sort of absorb some stuff about it, that I feel very vulnerable, right? Like, thinking about this, I'm like, oh man, what does it mean to enjoy something and then talk about it? Like, how selfish of me to think that my opinion means anything when I don't even have an opinion yet.
The people who are listening to this are people who have willingly decided they want to hear our dumb opinions on it.
You know,
you're not like you know, getting out there and replying to Sam Rockwell on Twitter and saying, hey, this is how I thought you were in it. You know, that's we're thinking about it as we go along. And it's very possible that in 6 weeks or 8 weeks, we'll look back on this episode and our opinions on episode one will have changed. But, you know, a few days out from watching it for me, a few minutes out from watching it for you, I feel, I'll say it, jazzed about this show.
All that jazz. Wow.
That's right. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what else there really is to cover. I mean, I think I'm hoping that we go more and more interior into the characters as we go along, and hoping that we're able to, that Gwen Verdon is able to function as a character as more than just a foil to Fosse and be her own character, because she is a very interesting person in her own right. And I mean, obviously it is part of her story that she is sort of like, you know, one of the, like, that she is a classic figure of, like, behind every great man there's a great woman or whatever. Like, it you can't completely, like, erase the history of the fact that, like, she's someone who's did not get credit in life for how much work she was doing as part of their partnership.
Right.
But you can choose to highlight that and choose to make her perspective, give her perspective equal weight. And I hope they're able to do that.
Yeah, I hope so too. And yeah, I don't know. I'm just excited. I can't wait for Roy Scheider's cameo.
I've got a... Oh, someone playing Roy Scheider, you mean?
No, I mean, I want Roy Scheider.
You want him to climb up from the grave and exactly. Walking Dead style walk onto the show. Yeah, exactly. See, that's the thing. Like, I didn't even think about that. Will they cover the making of All That Jazz? I would love it if now, they did. Like, if there's an episode about amazing. Him making All That Jazz. I wonder if that's too meta for them. But I want them to be like, we've got 8 episodes. For some reason, FX has let us tell this very niche story that, like, a certain subset of people are super excited about and everybody else says, who's Bob Fosse? Let us just, like, give the people who are excited about it what they want. Because that's the appeal of this, like, post-golden age of TV that we're in, right? Is that there's some little show that is just exactly what Marty Scanlon wants. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's very true. And it's like, what would that show be? It'd be like a World's Greatest Magic Special from 1992, but it would also be a musical, but it would also be like a Charlie Kaufman sort of existential dread piece. It'd be a lot of things.
Marty, I have to tell you, you're describing Pippin.
God, I am, kind of. Oh,
all right, well, let's leave it there. And I'm excited to watch next week. If you have thoughts, you know where to find us. Tell us we're wrong, tell us we're right. Marty will mute you. Just kidding.
And I don't mute anyone, I just don't respond.
You just don't respond. I will respond a little too aggressively, and that'll just be our style.
I think we balance each other out in that way. You respond slightly aggressively, and I don't respond, and together we make one normal human
you
being.
You fave and move on. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Cool. And we'll talk about more aspects of it. Obviously, there's lots we didn't cover on this episode. We didn't even get into the Lin-Manuel and Thomas Kail of it all, but
true. Like, just seeing that whole production team is very neat. You know, Tommy Kail, I think, from a directing standpoint, has done a really nice job of sort of a really interesting, tight pilot that I'm excited to see where it goes. So hats off, or, you know, gloves on, or bowlers tipped to them. And hats just slightly off to the other screenplay writer whose name is escaping me because my internet is broken. I'm very excited about this. It's so fun to watch a piece of media that's about theater and not roll my eyes every 5 minutes.
That's right. Okay, well, this was fun, and you're gonna have to help me with this sign off because I'm blanking on what we said.
Yes, so Do you want me to tell you, and then we can cut this, and then we can pretend we both knew it, or should we leave that in?
No, I think we leave it in.
Great. So it was. Until next week. We'll view you later, fellas.
All right. Let's say it together. Until next week.
No, view you later, fellas.
Later, fellas. All right.
Can you tell that we're on a phone call and not in real life?
To find more Smash Bros, go to smashbros.fun. That's SMASHBROS.FUN.
Or find us on iTunes, where you can rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast.
Smash Bros is produced in New York City by me, Marty Scanlon, and hosted by me and Jimmy Blackman.
I'm on Twitter at Jimmy Blackman, and Marty is at MC Scan.
If you know Brian D'Arcy James and think he would be down to do this podcast and maybe sing on it for us,
what the hell are you doing? Tell him to email us at podcastsmashbros@gmail.com. We'll see you next week on The Great White Way.
And now, Brian D'Arcy James.